It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Welcome back. Hour number two. It is Brew Talk live and on location tonight. Man, it feels good to say that. The first on-location show that we've had in 2021. Obviously, just 2 weeks in. That's the way to get it started, and we got it started right live here at Grimm Brothers Brew House in Loveland. They've got a lot of great beer up there ready to go. Just got our... So are you guys sticking consistent with what you had? Chad Young, owner of the tavern at St. Michael Square, Dr. Michael Mosier, UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences. Chad, are you sticking with it? You staying where you're at?
I have so far, but who knows? Maybe next one we'll switch up a little bit.
Same here. I've got the same, the snowdrop, but the dude to buy it is calling.
Right? When we go out to the place like this, I like to switch it up. I like to jump around to different beers that
make it like a festival.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you said, we make it like it. So I started with the blood orange, the Griffin. That right? The Griffin, excuse me, and then
Dragon.
The blood. See, I switch around so much. I don't have. Don't know. And now I've got the maple Duda Bites on there. So. Looking to try that here in just a moment. Again, live and on location from Grimm Brothers Brewhouse. The vice president of Grimm Brothers, Aaron Heaton, joining us. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us, my man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited to be out here. What are you drinking over there?
I've got Three Golden Hairs, our Pilsner.
Okay. Yeah. Is that your go-to over there? Or what do you?
I don't really have a go-to. I go to them all.
I love that. I love that response. And with beer this damn good, I don't know why not. So, Aaron, walk us through. We talked a little bit there with Don about how you guys met and stuff like that. But when did you know that you were very passionate about brewing and wanted to get into this?
Well, I started, I went to CSU. Don was a CU grad. We forgive him for that, so, it's okay. When I was at CSU, I got to learn all the good beers up there. We had Odell's, we had New Belgium, we had a bunch of those guys out of there. And then I moved away. I moved to North Carolina. And then at the time, North Carolina had a cap, said you can only have a beer about 6% or below. And so that was kind of I'm missing all of these, doubles and triples.
Right,
and stuff. So, what do you do in that situation? So I said, okay, well, I'm going to learn how to homebrew. My first beer I ever did was tried to do a 90-shilling clone. It turned out fantastic. Second beer I tried to do was a pale ale. It turned out terrible. Just awful. Worst beer I've ever had.
What is it with pale ales? They're the hardest ones in the world to brew, I think.
As a home brewer now, I'd say they're one of the easiest ones to do, but they're really easy to screw up, I guess.
Yes.
So for one of the things that I did was I wanted to learn how did I do so well the first time and do so bad the second time.
Well, and your confidence had to be sky high, right?
You
nail that first one, you're like, I got this.
This is easy stuff.
Why don't I just open one now, right? And then that had to be a little bit of a humbling experience, right? Make you go back into it.
Yep. So there was a homebrew club that I met actually out there. Who kind of taught me a lot of stuff. I got to get into all-grain brewing. I started doing more advanced stuff, barrel aging, which was kind of nice. As a regular person, it's hard to do 60 gallons of beer, but if you can divide that up with a bunch of people. So that really got me going from there. From there, I took a class with an online class that I ended up doing and then moved back to Colorado and joined Liquid Poets where Don was. And we were kind of like the second group that had started up with that. So we had kind of a clique of group of people that were kind of interested.
Right.
And the Poets, has started a bunch of different breweries since then. And they're still actually cranking out a few different breweries and stuff like that. So it was a really good club, really good, a lot of people who were, just as passionate, just as gung-ho about brewing. So for us, it was Don had put a post out there, says, I'm looking to start up a brewery, and I also wanted to do the same thing. Loveland at the time didn't have any breweries whatsoever, so it was kind of an easy niche for us to kind of jump in. Luckily, the everybody was so excited for us.
How many breweries are in Loveland now? Do you have that exact number, anybody?
I think it's 9 is what we're up to now.
I was
going to
say it's about 10, but 9,
Isn't that nuts? I mean, 10 years later, going on 11 years, I guess, this summer, right? But there's that many, and you guys are the staple, right? I mean, I don't mean to offend any of the other Loveland breweries out there. We've worked with a ton of them as well, but
when you talk about Loveland Breweries, Grim Brothers is the one that comes up.
Yeah, we kind of, when we did start, it was only about 6 months after we started, Big Beaver opened up their doors as well. They were definitely a different crowd than us. We were more, you know, we grew up with people at Odell's in New Belgium. I don't know if Don told you the story. When we first started, we didn't have any kegs. So it was great for them to be able to not only, you know, not charge us, but, you know, here to support us and do things like that. So we grew up with that attitude of brewing is a community, you know. Yeah. So that was one of the big things that we started when Verboten first started up. We were there for their grand opening. Aleworks, the same kind of concept. We were there. Even like you talked to Dustin at Crow Hop. He was there for our grand opening, and he remembers talking to us. So, you know, like, all of us have kind of grown up together, and we've learned through each other. And we all have our own little niche, too. It's right. Like, you know, we do a lot of lagers. You don't see that here, but now you're starting to see more and more. If you get a chance, go try Crow Hop. They're doing some, like, really unique lagers as well.
We were there,
not too long ago.
Maybe a year ago now. That I think of it, it's been a while. But yeah, those guys over at Crow Hop, they're a fun bunch over there.
I think, and actually, even with you look at Fort Collins, they have 20 some breweries, and I think they've kind of lost that community. But I can say one thing here is we haven't done that. We are all still pretty close to each other. We have different ideas. We'll team up and do different events. We've done collaborations together. We've done different promotion events together. So it really does kind of show, you know, that roots.
Camaraderie,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. We're all kind of together, you know, trying to do the same things.
Well, and you know, you heard a lot of those cliches. We kind of set up a drinking game talking about it when you hear we're all in this together. all those things that we've heard that are cliches, but when you get a camaraderie like that and a community like that, it reigns true. And I think what you saw that with 2020 and everything that went on, it had to be nice to have those guys, you know, all of you guys pulling in the same direction, trying to get things back for the brewing industry.
Oh, for sure. I mean, even with, like, the health department changing things, you know, if not weekly,
like
daily.
It could have just changed right now. Who knows? But
we even had there's one Saturday, they had the health department turn around and says, oh, you know, breweries can open up, they can do this, and we were all on board. We did everything. We submitted all the information. We signed up, and within about 2 hours, I got a text from Verboten saying, hey, they changed the rules. You guys can't be open. And we said, oh, well, okay. So the next day, unfortunately, we had to go back to closing, and we weren't able to open up for it. But we had one day, I guess, that we kind of cheated, snuck in there. But
yeah, well, I mean, I don't blame you. The confusion with all this. Chad owns the tavern at St. Michael Square in there in Greeley. He knows all too well about that.
And it's always last minute, the change in the rules.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Like you said, it's within 2 hours, it could be something completely different.
So you started this thing 10 years ago, almost 11 years now. Would you have ever dreamed that you would be where you're at right now?
No. The funny story is when we first opened, we had we bought 1,000 wristbands, and during that day we ran out of wristbands. We started having to mark hands and stuff like that. And so that was kind of the thing. I remember that first day. I was like, we did it. We finally opened. And then Don turns to me and he's like, yeah, now the real work starts. And I went, wait a minute, what have we been doing for the past 3 years trying to get this going?
Yeah, well, and you guys have been rolling with it now. So what is your main role here as the vice president of operations here with Grim Brothers?
My responsibilities is more on the business side. I deal with the finances. We're checking out. Really, on a small business like this, we only have, I think, 8 employees.
Right.
So pretty much everybody does a little bit of everything. I've kind of stepped back my role a little bit. I do a lot of QC, quality assurance. I've been judging at Great American Beer Festival for the past, I think, 6 years. So that's been a lot. It's great to network, but it also turns around and it says, okay, this is different. Why is this different? And then also trying out other people's beers. What are we strong at? Like, I'm not very good with lactic acid, but Don and Guy are really strong at lactic acid. But if you want to talk about diacetyl, that's my wheelhouse. I can pick out diacetyl pretty easy. So now mostly my role is just making sure everything's good. If we need to source something, you know, either grains or barrels or whatnot, then that's usually my responsibility, is making sure that we're that the brewers do what they need to do. They're brewing. The tap room needs to do what they're doing. If I got to step in and get something done, then that's my responsibility.
Sounds like jack of all trades.
Yeah, then. Yeah. I have a lot of hats.
Well, as we talk with Aaron Heaton here, the vice president at Grimm Brothers Brewhouse, this is one point that I've talked about a lot. We've been doing the show for 3 years now, and there's a lot of people who can brew good beer. There's not as many who can be good business people. And I think that's I would say, there's no stats to back this up, but I just don't have them in front of me. But that I would say that there are that's the main reason why breweries fail.
Well, I look in the 1990s when a lot of these brewers, you know, we had two in the city of Loveland and I don't know how many in Fort Collins, but there was a lot that had started up, and either they weren't brewing very good beer, mm-hmm. or they didn't have a good business sense around them where they could figure that out. And not to say that we haven't screwed up. We've
right.
definitely
I
done
mean,
every, a lot
every,
of that
Every
one,
business
right.
has made those mistakes.
Exactly.
It's a learning curve, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think even in now, today, where you're starting to see more breweries pop up, and even, like, you're starting to see more distilleries coming out and stuff like that. That's getting more diversified. Yeah, a lot of breweries are now, instead of trying to grow out, they're trying to grow in. And so what I mean is, like, Odell's, for instance, they're opening up a secondary location down in Denver. They're opening up a winery. And so what they're trying to do, instead of saying, hey, let's go to Texas or California, mm-hmm. what they're doing is saying, hey, why don't we create something closer to here and create more of an environment and a society and a community around us. And that's definitely something that we've tried to do. We try to get more involved with events, with people.
Right.
The more that people can interact and say, oh, this is my location, this is who we are, I'm a family, this is, you know, they know me by name, the more that those people are going to, you know, go above and beyond and be a part of your group.
So. This really kind of goes back to that brewers are a community, but one thing a lot of people forget is that customers of breweries are a community. Mm-hmm. Customers of craft brewers are social people.
Yeah.
The reason why they come out, the reason why they hang out, the reason why they do this is it's a social get-together. When we can't come into a brewery to do that, it really causes us to try to figure out a different way to go about getting our social interactions.
Yeah.
And now if a brewery is building inward, they're trying to rebuild that social enterprise. And I think that's a great way to go about doing it.
Yeah, I'll see with COVID how that kind of changes everything. Mm-hmm. This year has been a really significant, you know, impact on a lot of people. And I know that, you know, there are business loans out there and some of the businesses aren't going towards that one. But it's been rough, you know, not being able for people to come out or people who are worried
right.
about getting sick or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, it's I think the next, you know, year will be really interesting to see. You know, a lot of these beer festivals, is that going to, you know, they've kind of cut back on beer festivals and events and stuff like that. That was great money for non-for-profits. What's going to happen this next year if they're, are we going to be able to do this stuff? Are we going to be able to meet? You know, it's
outside
interesting.
Of the, outside of the beer, what do you think the next move for breweries is?
That's a really tricky question. I was never on the hazy side of things, and then
so
all
you're
of a sudden
seltzer
that blew
guy.
Up.
Yeah. I got you pegged down. You're a seltzer guy, is that right?
I never thought the seltzer would happen, and they blew up. The last couple of years, I've been seeing lagers have blown up at Great American Beer Festival, at World Beer Cup, at these different, even going to different breweries. Lagers used to be difficult, and which I understand. You got to sit on them for a little bit longer. You got to take care of them a
right.
lot longer. But now people are starting to do lagers, and they're doing a good job. So that's where I'd like to see the industry go. I think the brewing, the actual brewing industry, would like to see whether that the consumers do that. That's another question.
Right. Let's you got some more time?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. I want to talk about what the GABF looked at like this year and how that looked from a judge's perspective. Don't go anywhere. We're live and on location at Grimm Brothers Brew House. It's Brew Talk Radio right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
You know, I used to say I had the best job in the world. Yep. paid to drink beer and go and visit all these. I think the best job in the world may be a GABF judge. I don't know, Aaron. Is that better, or is there more pressure applied there?
There's some really bad beer out there.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And you got to be nice about it, but also up front and be like, hey.
That crap-filled Twinkie, yeah, right? Yeah. Is that what you got to give them there?
But I tell you, it's been a lot better over the last 6 years that I've been doing. I've definitely, every year I'm seeing more and more of an improvement from it. So
it's BrewTalk Radio. Let's reintroduce. I'm Tanner Schwint, host of the show. Chad Young, owner of the tavern at St. Michael's Square. Dr. Michael Mosier, UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences. Aaron Heaton, the vice president of Grimm Brothers, with us tonight as we're live and on location out here at Grimm. So this year was weird, or 2020 was weird.
Yeah.
2021's been weird, too. But what did GABF look like from a judge's perspective? Were you involved at all? What happened?
So usually what happens is we meet about a week before Great American Beer Festival, and that's like you have about one or two days where you only see these guys once a year, and that's at GABF. So it's kind of nice. It's a real social atmosphere.
It's a party.
Oh, yeah, very much so. A lot of people are having fun. They're, hey, what are you working on? What are you brewing? You know, what are you entering? And stuff like that. And then you sit down, and they give you, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 samples, and you pick out your favorite three. Those three go on until it reaches the final table. And then the real fun, you know, begins where you sit down and, okay, this is why, and you – It's a little bit of argument and a little bit of I like this, but this is, you know, I didn't get this off flavor, but you did. Let's kick it or whatever. But this year was even more difficult. They did it over, I think, a 6-week time period. So I went down on a weekend. They were in a giant warehouse. They spread everybody out. Instead of the 200 to 300 judges that they do, we had about 60 judges that they put in there. We were all spread out. They had fans going on, so they had a plastic shield in front of you, so you could not hear. You know, it was hard to, you know, even taste and smell the beers because you kept hitting the plastic, you know, shield in front of you. Geez. So you kind of had to, you know, figure it out as you went along. But even then, with the sound, there's a couple times where you just had to, like, which one, you know, like, point and choose, like, I don't like this one, I didn't like that one either, you know, and then you write the comments. So I guess this year it was kind of nice because only one person had to write, so I only had to write down half of the notes that I would usually have to do. So, but it's still one of those things of, hey, this is good, this is what I'm looking for, you hit it on here, but you didn't hit it here, or, you know, is this an aged beer? Is this, you know, or is there a problem within packaging or something like that? So it's really looking for what the issues are.
I'm assuming you can't judge a category that you've submitted in. Is that right?
So this year was a little bit different, actually.
All right. Did your beers get high marks?
We did okay.
No, from you is all I'm wondering.
Oh, yeah. I had some really good beers. I got to judge. I got to medal. One of my favorite was, and I'm not a big fan of the pastry stouts. I'm really anti-pastry stout, but I got to judge some of those, and that really did change my perspective on some of those beers that were really, really tasty. So,
who was? Do you have a couple notable ones from? Was there anybody from Colorado who's done a really good one, or most of them out of the?
I've had a few. There was one beer I thought for sure it was going to be Something Brewing Company out of Brighton, Colorado, and it turns out that was not that brewery, which is a good thing. You're not supposed to, you know, make guesses off of it.
Yeah.
So I remember, like, okay, I want to know who is this that brewery's beer, and it turns out that it wasn't. But I was pretty impressed. It was really interesting to see the creativity. You know, beer used to be, okay, here, this is an alt beer. You know, you don't mess around with an alt beer or, you know, different things like that.
Don't mess with tradition, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But nowadays, yeah, go for it. If you want to put sprinkles in your beer, you know, like, go at it.
So I know you're a big big non-alcoholic beer guy. We've declared that. Are you a big seltzer guy too?
No. I'm a beer guy 100%.
Yeah, so what's your favorite style? If you had to pick one, what's your style? What's your
I gravitate towards lagers. That's usually where I go towards. I'm a seasonality drinker a lot of times too. I do like the APAs. I'll drink those in the summertime. But I usually... You give me something that's clean, malty, good flavor around, I'll usually gravitate towards that.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. I think a lot of people look for those exact things as well. But on the GABF front, what was your first experience with the GABF? Not as a judge necessarily.
Oh,
for you,
man, that was a long time ago. So when I don't even know what year it was, but I remember when the award ceremony was actually on the floor itself. Mm-hmm. Which the first year we actually did, it was on the floor as well. Man, I can't remember the first one, but I remember going as a brewery to our first one. I remember sitting there, and they had the award ceremony, and, you know, we were allowed to have, I think, 8 or 10 beers. We ended up entering the max that we could at the time, and I was, you know, it was kind of exciting. You know, you get up there, you're like, oh, we've got a beer in this category. This one, third place, no. Second place, no. First place, no. Nah. Okay, whatever. I'm going to go grab a beer. That's fine. I got a good 20 minutes till my next one's up. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, Doug Odell is standing there, and I'm like, hey, Doug, how's it going? He's like, hey, you know, we're just, you know, talking, figuring, you know, how's everything going, whatnot, just socializing. And then all of a sudden, you know, it comes up, and it's sours. It's fruited sours. And so they go through it, and Freak ends up winning from Odell's. And Doug, like, people are coming up to him and, like, hitting Doug in the back, and he's like, why is everybody hitting me like this? And I was like, oh, your beer just went up in there. And so all of a sudden, like, 4 or 5 people whisk him up to the stage, and he goes up there. And it was kind of cool. And I saw him later on. I say, congrats. He's like, hey, yeah, you guys are going to do it. You'll do it. And I was like, okay, whatever. And so we get up to the alt category, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm starting to get a little tipsy, you know, like, whatever. It happens, it happens. And so, and then all of a sudden, it's like third place. Oh, no. Second place? Oh, man. First place, Little Red Cap. Oh, man, maybe not. Wait, what did you say? Little Red Cap. Oh, yeah. So we're screaming and yelling, jumping up and down. People are like, hey, congrats. Hey, what's going on? So it was really awesome. And they tell you before you even get up on the stage, they're like, okay, so, you know, make sure you don't bear hug or, you know, crush anybody, you know, like when you get the award. And so they have to do fist bumps. That's why you do the fist bumps. But you get up there and you're just like, oh, I'm hugging somebody, so I'm just picking everybody up, being like, "Yeah."
That's awesome, man. And so that was the first. So when you say you don't remember the first one you went to, is that because of the beer that you consumed down there? Or is that
man? I think the first year I went was in 1998. So it's been
22 years.
Yeah,
I know. I just know that because I was born in 97.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Was it still at the Coliseum?
Oh, no, I had it at the – no, I think they just moved it over to the convention center. So, but it was definitely a fraction of what it is now.
Yeah, I've heard that those first ones were actually an intimate affair rather than the whatever it is, 30,000 people at one time.
Nuts, man. So what does 2021 look like for the GABF?
They're not going to have GABF this year. They just came out with a notice that they're going to combine the World Beer Cup with Great American Beer Festival. So they'll do the convention in Denver. It was supposed to be in San Diego, so they decided to move it to Denver this year. And they'll kind of do the Craft Brewers Conference and mix it together with Great American Beer Festival.
I heard they just moved the Craft Brewers Conference to September
from
there to Denver. Right. And so they're thinking about doing it live. And so now they're going to do something I hadn't heard about, the WC and the GABF being kind of combined.
It was either yesterday or maybe Todd. I'm not sure.
You're breaking news right now.
Interesting. Breaking news for us.
Yeah. That. So, looking at that going forward, is that something that they're planning on doing for good, or is this just a 1 year exception because of what's been going on? Do you know that?
I don't know. Okay. I'm assuming it's because of the whole COVID situation as well. It was kind of interesting how they did the Great American Beer Festival. Usually the award ceremony is like 3 hours long. You have to wait for everybody to get up there. This year it was like 1 minute and 5 seconds. You know, like you were like, hey, it's done. It was like, oh, okay, I guess. You know?
We're talking with Aaron Heaton, the vice president over here at Grimm Brothers Brewhouse. Walk us through here. We just got a couple of minutes left, and I believe we're going to have Eric on, your sales rep as well. Yep. But walk us through what you love about Grimm Brothers and what sets you guys apart.
Everything keeps changing out here. There's not a time where, you know, things are just the norm. We're constantly coming up with different ideas and different things. What I really enjoy is if somebody's got an idea, either whether it be a beer idea or an event idea or whatever, let's sit down, let's figure this out, you know.
Right, it's not, yeah, right. I like that, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, because, I mean, we're a locally owned radio station as well, and that's a lot where some of our greatest ideas, I mean,
yeah.
I, Hell, I started in there as an 18-year-old and had some ideas that I threw out. And if it wasn't for people at the top, like you and like Don as well, that took those responses seriously, who knows where the hell I would be right now, too. So I think that's very important from a local business standpoint as well.
Make sure you ask Erica about the prom, you know, idea.
The what?
She wants to do an adult prom. Let's see how that goes.
There it is. So I will tell you
what. In trouble for that.
No,
though.
Maybe. I asked Don. I said, what are some things that I can ask Aaron and Erica here? And he would not give me anything. He laughed because he had some ideas. I said, we all saw it, right? You saw that little dude come up, and he wouldn't. He goes, I don't want to deal with the wrath of that, but okay.
It's because I got dirt on Don. He knows. I know where the bodies are buried around here.
See, if you would have started it, he probably would have told me later on, but he knew you were coming on, so you could have thrown stuff back at him.
The problem is he also knows where the bodies are buried, so you got to be careful.
Well, when you guys have been in business together for 10 years, of course that's going to happen. Aaron, hey, appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for having us out
Thanks
here. I'm sure we're
going
to be back out here. Real soon. It sounds like we might even get a chance to collaborate on a beer with you
fun.
Guys as well.
Heck
so,
yeah.
Hey, thanks for being a great representative of Northern Colorado breweries and the fight to get breweries back open. We're very happy to be able to sit in here and enjoy a nice cold brew with you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk with Erica. She's the sales rep here for Grimm Brothers. We're live and on location, Grimm Brothers Brew House. We got about a half an hour left. Don't go anywhere. It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Time. Welcome back in. It's Brew Talk Radio. We are live from Grimm Brothers Brew House on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. We're getting rolling here. I like it. We've talked with Don Chapman, the president. We've talked to Aaron Heaton, the vice president. Now we're getting into the category. These are the people who really know what's going on, right? we're talking with outside sales rep. Erica Graber, is that right?
That's right.
Erica Graber, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Before we get going, talk to us about the adult prom.
The adult prom?
The adult prom idea.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, Aaron told
did
me
Did Aaron
to
bring
ask.
This up?
Yeah, he did.
Was he making fun of me?
No, he did not. He said, you just have to ask. Because we were talking about the fluidity of all of the different ideas that go around in a small business.
Uh-huh.
And the adult prom came
up. Oh, my gosh.
Up.
Well, the adult prom never came to fruition. But
but you had an idea about it, right? Okay. So if you have to punch Aaron, okay, well, you
I'm
don't have
punch
to answer.
Him.
Yeah, you can go do whatever you want to over there. But no, in all seriousness, thank you for joining us. I just
of
had
course.
To throw that out there. Outside sales rep, how has your job changed with 2020 and COVID and the shutdowns, and then we're not shut down and everything that goes into it, how has your job changed?
Oh, gosh, in quite a few ways. I don't know, adapting to how people, beer buyers, whether on-premise or off-premise,
right.
how they want to deal with their reps, if they want to see you in person, if they would rather text. It's been interesting kind of figuring out if they want to see me or if not, you know, and it's just been an adjustment because I still get out and about quite a bit. I like to show up in person. That's kind of what I pride myself on. And
any good salesperson is like that. They want to be there.
And you want to build those relationships, and you want to be there. You don't want it to just be a text relationship with your buyers. But there are definitely some that have said, no, I'd rather text with you. So I have to respect everybody's wishes, and that's totally fine. I've tried to be as safe as possible. Everybody has their different ways of going about things. So
yeah. No, I love hearing this, too. And so my other role at KFK is as the sales manager. We've been dealing with that as well about you deal with a lot of local people about, who's comfortable with coming out there, when's a good time to come out. And it's a difficult task, for sure, to go about.
Yeah, definitely.
But Chad Young, owner of the tavern, you not anymore, right? I mean, you talk about difficult task, but not anymore. You don't deal with reps personally.
Well, we have a beer buyer.
Right, you got a beer
buyer. I have a bar manager, and we just got a delivery today.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So I imagine working with restaurants, and bars has been probably one of the hardest things.
It has.
With the restrictions changing, the rules changing all the time.
Absolutely. And figuring out, I mean, it's just been such a lull. Like on-premise bars and restaurants have come to almost a halt for a while here. Like, it's been few and far between keg orders compared to where we've been in the past.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
But hopefully we're on our way up.
Do you see a change in the types of products that's being ordered then? I mean, if I'm ordering a smaller quantity, maybe I'm changing the styles that I'm getting, or I'm changing the format at which it comes to me. Are you seeing a lot of that?
A lot more sixtals, smaller kegs, because it's sitting on the line a lot longer.
Sure.
We're not selling as much.
So is that changing who you're targeting? Are your outside sales, are you looking more at liquor stores? Are you trying to bust into some areas that maybe you weren't into before? Because liquor sales at liquor stores are up.
They're booming. Yeah.
They are booming. is that what you've been focusing on?
Absolutely. 2020 was a big year of growth for off-premise for liquor stores for me. We've always had a pretty good off-premise presence.
Yeah, you guys do.
We have a lovely canning line, and we can our product, so we put it out there. But, yeah, liquor stores have been killing it, so they've kept us going for sure.
Well, and I think that's where a lot of breweries have gone to as well. And like you said, hopefully on the way up, right, as we start to see.
I hope so.
I mean,
don't we all?
Wood right there, right. It's got to start going in that direction, absolutely. But what's been the biggest pushback from some of these owners? Because I know maybe not liquor stores, but when you talk about the restaurants and breweries, have there been some that have been like, yeah, you know what, I'll do the same order, and then some that have pulled way back? What's been your experience dealing with them?
Loveland is our backyard, so Loveland loves us. Loveland has pretty much kept us on, still ordering pretty much what they have been. I mean, depending on what their restaurant or bar is doing. Some have had to shut down a lot more because they don't have outdoor seating as much as others. But Loveland we can pretty much rely on because that's, you know, our backyard.
Huge. And that's huge, right? I mean, that makes your job a little bit easier.
Absolutely. And we love our relationships with these accounts. Like, we love Loveland just like Loveland loves us. Outside, like Fort Collins, Greeley, the further out you get, it's slowed down quite a bit more just because I think everybody's kind of trying to support as local as possible and trying to really keep it honed in to as close as possible.
So this has made you kind of want to expand your market even further out to see if there's something out there that's looking for something where they don't have a brewery?
There's been a lot of talk about it, and we have an awesome distributor, Colorado Craft Distributing. They cover everything south of Longmont. So I go as far south as Longmont. We self-distribute everything Longmont north up to Wellington pretty much.
Right.
But then Colorado Craft takes over south of that, and they've been really doing a great job for us too. We have a good relationship with them, and they're doing a great job selling our product too. But yes, we want to expand. There's been talks. We're thinking about, I don't want to say too much. But.
Right. No, I get it. But well, when you're having that success, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Talking with Erica Graber, the outside sales rep here for Grimm Brothers. How much pressure have you felt, not that necessarily that was put on you from management or anything like that, but pressure on yourself to make sure, hey, you know, taproom sales are slowed down. We got to be able to move some product.
It's been a lot. I feel like that's just my personality type anyways. I put a lot of pressure on myself to perform and do well for this company because I love these guys. But, yeah, it's been a lot. There's a lot of pressure on me to kind of keep bringing in money for this company.
So how did you get involved with Grimm Brothers?
Fate.
Yeah. I like that answer.
Yeah. I don't know. The beer industry is not an easy one to get into. But
no.
I had, you know, some great connections here. And I always had a passion for fermentation. I had a love for beer. I studied nutrition in school.
Okay.
So it's kind of a crazy road that brought me here. But
it sounds like it. Are you from Colorado originally? Or?
I've lived here for 20 years now, which is crazy. Yeah. But I'm originally from Kansas.
Okay.
Yeah, but Colorado girl now, I guess.
Where in Kansas are you from?
Southwestern Kansas, Garden City.
Garden City.
Yes, sir.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Very, very well aware of that over there, Doc.
I know Kansas.
Yeah, that's why I was chiming in for sure. But so you come about, when did you know this was the right fit? How long have you been with the company? Your thoughts on kind of where you're at now? And
It's been 3.5 years, just about. And Aaron, who you guys spoke with earlier,
right.
And Scott, who does our marketing and has been a really big part of this company as well. I kind of got to know those guys and they're kind of responsible for me getting hired on. I was kind of in a weird spot before I came to Grimm, not super happy with where I was at career-wise, and just wanting something new, something different. And I had experience in sales, so they said, well, why don't you come try it for us? And I had a working interview. I actually just poured at a beer festival to prove I could pour a beer. And it just kind of came to fruition after that. These guys brought me on. They made a spot for me when maybe it wasn't the easiest to do, but they did it, and I am so appreciative to them. And it's just grown from there. I love this place. It's my family.
Are you a beer lover?
I am, absolutely.
What's your favorite beer that Grimm brews?
Oh, that Grimm brews.
Yeah, no, I'm going to get to the other ones here, so be ready for those as well. But what's your favorite Grimm beer?
It's a tie. So I love one of our main lines, Fearless Youth, our Dunkel Lager. I love that beer. It's consistent. It's delicious. It's really delicious when it's fresh. It tastes super chocolatey when it's fresh. It's just a really good Dunkel Lager. But I also love our Schwartz beer, Midnight Strikes. Schwartz beer is probably my favorite style overall. So.
All right.
Roastier flavors are right up your alley then.
Yeah, I'm a lager girl too. But yeah, lagers.
Perfect place being here then. Yeah. If you're a lager girl for sure.
Yeah.
Favorite beer outside of Grimm?
Oh man, that's such a tough one because I have so many. I would say, well, right now this isn't huge picture. This is still local, but Spy Brewing in Fort Collins.
Right, of course.
Yeah. They make a bomb Schwartz beer.
Okay.
Yeah, same style as Midnight Strikes, but it's very delicious.
That's your go-to. All right.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, I do have to ask, being in sales, man, I've got some weird stories. With cold calls, and so, there's weird people you got to deal with doing sales.
And restaurant people, let alone.
Yeah, restaurant people.
Probably liquor store owners, too.
Right. Well, I've got a couple of clients of both that are both a little different, but nonetheless – tell me your craziest sales story. Do you have something don't want to get anybody in trouble or anything like that, obviously, but do you have something that you're like, okay, that might just take the cake?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think.
Well, there's these guys that asked me to be on the radio.
Yeah. She's not selling us anything yet. I mean, not yet. She already sold Chad. I think that was the one that she had to get to. So nothing too incredibly crazy has happened? Nothing too incredibly awkward?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, it's never fun to get yelled at.
Right.
And that's happened a few times.
Really?
Yeah, just crazy mix-ups, whether it be money, whether it be whatever. I don't know.
Restaurant folks aren't very nice with distributors. Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to call anybody out, and I don't want whoever's listening to be able to parse out who this might be, but... there was one time, so we haven't done it this entire year because of COVID. We've been very lenient with accounts, but we used to have finance charges when people would pay late, right? You know,
everybody does that. Right? Yeah. We do that same thing with the radio station.
I got yelled and screamed at by one person over $3. Like I've never been yelled at before in my life. And I was like,
pennies count in restaurants.
Yeah. I ended up crying, and I pride myself on being pretty good at handling these situations, but this guy would just let loose on me and just was so mad at me. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be a sales rep anymore.
Sales is a brutal world.
A nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. But, we appreciate a good salesperson, and Erica, you definitely seem like one. So anybody you want to give a shout-out to? Anything else you want to say while we got you for a second here? Anything that you want to let the people in Northern Colorado know?
Just support local, guys. This is a tough time. Mm-hmm. Go out and support your local brewery, bar, restaurant, meadery, winery, whatever it is. Just love on local right now. Grimm Brothers needs it. We all need it. So.
Erica, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll wrap up this show. Again, we're live and on location at Grimm Brothers Brew House. It's Brew Talk Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Just about 6 minutes left here. Welcome back into Brew Talk. Live and on location tonight, Grimm Brothers Brew House. Chad Young, owner of the tavern at St. Michael Square, Dr. Michael Mosher. I am Tanner Schwint. Thanks for being with us here tonight. Morgan Harrington, CFO of the Grim Reaper, joining us. This is the first time you've been able to sit here and talk to us face-to-face now. And so before we go anywhere, if you go back and listen to the interview we had last week, I asked you a couple of questions. You got very nervous about your answers to it. I got home that night and saw the Facebook post. I asked you about the thousandth batch that you guys brewed. Yes. And you were very nervous about answering that question. But we can talk about that. Is that right?
Yes, we can.
All right. Perfect. thanks for joining the program, for being with us. If you want to move that mic just a little bit closer up there. Perfect. There we go. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for having us tonight. We're really happy that we can sit inside here.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you guys actually got to be here and not with us outside in our tent that is currently falling over right now.
Did the wind finally hit?
Yeah, it collapsed, so that's why everybody went running outside.
Oh, crap.
So, yay for this whole mess we're dealing with right now. But, yeah, it's good to have people inside where it's warm.
Right, and as we start to get back to somewhat of normalcy here, we're going to get back to normal, but have you started to get out of the public eye a little bit here?
Yeah, almost successfully made it tonight without having to.
Did you really think I was going to let you? Did you think we were going to come into your house and not bring you on?
I was kind of hoping, you know. yes and no. I'm not going away completely, but things are shifting
right
a little bit. We were really disappointed to not get moved to level orange.
Yeah, walk us through that, because you guys were on day two or three, and then it spiked to 358, right? So you missed it by 8 cases, so that took you back to to 0 days.
Yes.
That's infuriating.
Yes, it is, and I'm glad that I'm not the governor right now and having to fight this fight on his end. We appreciate his attempts at making changes, but for now we're kind of just waiting for those numbers to go down, and the more people that can follow the rules, I know it sounds really horrible, but please wear a mask, do all the things you're supposed to do, then the better we can keep those numbers down and move everybody in the level up program to level yellow.
Did it bug you when the governor came out and moved everybody to orange? Not for the fact of that did help every business in Weld County and Morgan County, all these other counties, that Denver County, but because of the fact of how much work you had put in to get to this level up program to push you to orange, and then he goes, yeah, you're an orange, but it's not a legit orange. It's us moving you up so that your level up program really at the moment, unfortunately, doesn't do a whole lot, right?
So that actually wasn't the governor. That was the CDPHE.
They were the one that made that decision.
Yes. So we, yes, it rubbed us a little bit the wrong way by him being like, oh, everybody that didn't do all this work can now be level orange. But then CDPHE came in and said, actually, no, you can't. So then now there's all these gray areas, and it's a big jumbled mess currently, and we're trying to kind of figure it out, but we're hoping in the next couple of weeks that will change and I can go back to doing my real job.
What is your real job? What is your real job, Morgan?
So yes, the Grim Reaper is my nickname. I'm accounts payable and accounts receivable, and that's where the Grim Reaper comes in. I also own a lab that has been dead through this whole pandemic, because when people can barely pay their employees, they're not exactly going to pay to get their beer tested. But yeah, I'd love to get back to hiding in my office and not talking to anybody.
Well, it actually sounds like a much more exciting job than the one you're currently in doing.
Yes. I love talking to my microbes and being a total weirdo in my office and not engaging with the public. But
I loved when we first sat down and met out here, when it was just you and I, we met, and she's telling the story of she'd come out every once in a while and jump behind the bar, and somebody'd say, are you the new girl here? But because even the regulars had not known, and that's the way you prefer it. I don't know if you'll ever be able to go back to that.
I can't. I really can't. I have to be very careful about the hours that I'm here now, because otherwise I get knocks on the door, which is fine. It's great. I love getting to know our regulars that I didn't know before. But yeah, I do miss not having to deal with the COVID stuff.
I think that goes for everybody. All right, we got about a minute and a half here. What is your favorite Grimm Brothers beer?
Oh, Little Red Cap, hands down, always has been, always will be. That beer I loved way before I started working here.
In 10 seconds, what's your least favorite beer?
Oh, the Blood Orange Griffin.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes.
That's fascinating. All right. We're going to have to get answers about this next week. That's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. Dr. Moser, any final thoughts?
I'm just glad to be here. This is like a festival atmosphere and amazing beer,
Chad,
as always.
Always happy to get out to the brewery and enjoy the beer.
I'm pretty sure we've got Don talked into coming in and doing the show next week with us as well.
Yes, you do.
Morgan, thank you so much for everybody out there. This has been Brew Talk Radio.